This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Kathy Pedrotti-Hayes is an expert in CSR and philanthropic giving, and her co-host, Vicki Bolson, is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company that was also the first B Corp certified company in Indiana. Kathy and Vicki became friends and equally passionate about CSR when they first worked together several years ago. Join them as they talk about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hey, Vicki.
Hey, Kathy. How are you today?
Doing pretty well. And you?
You know, I'm hanging in there. Kind of, I'm looking at you on Zoom. Our listeners don't know this, but we've been taping our episodes in these three-way calls and you and me on Zoom so we can look at each other and not to step on top of each other.
Yes, we've certainly kind of jerry-rigged this whole system a little bit, right?
I know. I'll be glad when we can get back in the studio with our producer, Matt, for sure. But so in getting ready for our guest, I was thinking about some things, and I just wanted to ask you a question. I know you work with a ton of different kinds of clients, nonprofits, companies that are using business as a force for good. And I've noticed that during COVID especially, that companies are sometimes changing their whole mission. You know, I mean, especially just to react to what's going on with COVID. And I guess that's not fair to say. Not completely changing their mission, but kind of changing their approach so that they can work around COVID or maybe even, react to COVID. Are you seeing that a lot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think despite the fact that it's such a scary time and uncertain time, I also think that it's a really innovative time. You know, what is that old saying? Innovation is the mother of necessity or something like that. But you really see companies being so innovative. And so there is a bit of excitement about that, I think, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sink or swim mentality, which is, I think we're finding that to be something in our episodes that we've had and we're going to have, you know, it's becoming a trend in our conversation with them. You know, what have you done? What are you doing because of COVID, or what's your future plans? And somehow that COVID and the response to it always comes into the conversation. And that's kind of a conversation that I had with Ken, who is our next guest. I guess it's been a month or two ago, but we were just kind of catching up on our industry. You know, we're both in this industry, but Ken, our guest, is an expert in sponsorships, and he's got some really exciting things to talk with us about today about the industry and how it's changing and adjusting. So I'm just going to go ahead and introduce him so that we can get him talking to us. So again, our guest is a man named Ken Unger, and I am so blessed that he's someone that I can call a friend. I've always admired him and loved the conversations that we have. And I also love him because he has such a unique and interesting background. Not, you know, someone who's taken the road usually traveled. He attended IU for undergrad, and then he went on and he studied law at Columbia University. And so he received his law degree, and he worked as an attorney for about 5 years before he segued into a position as the deputy chief of staff for Governor Evan Bayh, and this was back in the 90s. Yeah. So then when that reign was over, he held a chief of staff position at the beloved Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and there he served as the chief human resources officer, and he worked with a group of companies with 500 full-time employees and over 5,000 seasonal staff. So law and HR, and also in that chief of staff role, he led the development of a $135 million racetrack facility in suburban Chicago, and he led the development of a $3.2 million road beautification project honoring the historic legacy of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Then he went on to a senior vice presidency with the Indy Racing League. And there he was responsible for all the business operations of IndyCar racing. And that included the marketing, the sales, the public and promoter relations, event scheduling, broadcast, and strategic planning. So, I mean, whoa. And I mean, you know, when you look at all that, it's no doubt that that collective experience led to his desire to open his own company that's called Charge. And for the past 15 years, Ken and his team at Charge have been helping brands solve marketing challenges through effective sponsorship relationships. Ken is also a frequent speaker on the power of personal branding and sponsorship marketing, and he is the author of two books. One on sponsorship strategy and another one that talks with athletes about how just everything they need to know about the sports business. Those titles of the books, for those that want to potentially purchase one, I'll relay the exact titles at the end of the podcast. And I think he's writing a third book right now, so we can ask him that. But anywho, I have had many glasses of wine with Ken, and we love to talk about our industry and the trends within it. And the one thing that I know that we have really agreed on and talk a lot about is corporate social responsibility and how that is so important and really becoming even more important than ever with every passing day. So I'm excited to have Ken here so he can talk with us about how sponsorships can be created and implemented as a force for good. So hi, Ken.
Hi, Vicki. Hi, Kathy. How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
We are doing great.
All things considered, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. We live in interesting times, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know we've talked about, you know, and you heard Kathy and I kind of talking at the beginning about how things are, you know, changing for companies and they're adjusting and shifting. What is, this is probably a really hard, loaded question, but what is the biggest sponsorship trend that you are seeing, not just because of COVID, but, you know, just with our industry?
Wow, that is a loaded question, but I'll do my best. I really love the quote by Sun Tzu, who was the martial strategist, who said, "In the midst of chaos, there's also opportunity." And the sponsorship industry, by far, is in the midst of chaos. And so because of the COVID-19 pandemic, really, the entire industry is being reinvented. And so one of the biggest opportunities is brands, large companies all over the world are rebalancing their sponsorship portfolios. That is, some opportunities are going away and some opportunities are being created. But the good news is that new opportunities are happening. So it really puts a premium on properties, not-for-profits, sports properties, humanities organizations, of being at their best from a marketing perspective because sponsors are still looking for opportunities.
I think that a lot of, you know, I serve on boards and we work with nonprofit clients and we've seen them partner a lot with other organizations. I've also been at the table when, you know, talking about how are we going to reach out to that donor, you know, which is a sponsor essentially, and give them value, you know, for the program that we were doing with them, perhaps that we can no longer do. So how are you handling conversations like that with different organizations and sponsors of organizations to kind of guide them through that, that really important question of that value of a sponsorship?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to answer it, we'll have to look at it from both sides. So from a brand perspective, what we're seeing in the marketplace, especially in light of the COVID-19 pandemic, is the rise of corporate social responsibility. I mean, that's something that you guys in this great podcast, you talk about all the time. And really, companies are viewing CSR, conscious capitalism, all the concepts that are related to it, not as a value add or an add-on, but something that's integral to their business strategy. So if you have companies that are looking to do good, to really do those things that government can no longer or is unwilling to do, then they're really looking for opportunities to align with causes that are consistent with their brand values. So that's the opportunity from the brand side for not-for-profits. So if you're a not-for-profit, really kind of from a promotional perspective, sometimes promotion and marketing in the not-for-profit world is looked upon as a dirty word that really from a revenue perspective, not-for-profits seem to prefer donations and galas and all those traditional things to raise money from a relatively limited donor base. But sponsorship has become more and more important to not-for-profits from a revenue perspective, which is great. So we see this convergence of, brands, of companies looking for CSR opportunities, and you look at not-for-profits who are looking for, enhanced revenue. So really, it's about making a match between those two, and we're seeing that more and more in the marketplace, and that's even accelerated now. Even as we move into what looks like a recession, we're seeing more of an alignment between brands and not-for-profit opportunities.
In thinking about that, what about like ROI, right? The return on investment. How important do you feel like that is right now for companies as they're looking at, the value of their sponsorships?
Yeah, that's a great question. Sponsors are not necessarily looking to cut their expense. They're looking, as times get tough, they're looking for higher value or more enhanced ROI from the sponsorship relationships that they have. That means they're looking for more ways to increase awareness for their brand. They're looking at mm-hmm. more opportunities to create leads through sponsorship opportunities to sell more goods and services. So you have that on that side of the equation, you have sponsors really looking to heighten their return on investment. The interesting thing is that the not-for-profits also have the opportunity to use sponsorship as a way to create more return on investment from their promotional opportunities. So there are a couple of examples we can go through, but really value more than anything else right now is king. And not necessarily cost. So it's how mm-hmm. can companies align better with not-for-profit audiences? How can they really, work with their not-for-profit to speak to the audience that the not-for-profit has? There's an interesting statistic about that. 87% of consumers in recent research have said they'll purchase a product from a company because that company advocated for an issue that they care about. That's 87% of consumers say that this type of activity is important to them. So that's going to create right there just a built-in ROI, because once that company is seen as engaging in an authentic activity that's beneficial to a certain community, that's going to yield impact, not only a positive societal impact, but a dollars and cents impact for that company.
What are some, you said that you had some examples. I'm glad you said that, because that was one of the things I wanted to ask was, can you give an example of something recent that you've seen happen in this area, a shift that somebody maybe made due to COVID?
Yeah, I think that in terms of COVID, I think I'd like to look at it a little more broadly about how the shift in not-for-profit from basically relying on donations or relying on sponsorship was really impactful for that not-for-profit. The same rules apply, or they're really, really even enhanced during the COVID-19 pandemic. But let me go through a couple of examples. So there's a not-for-profit based in Nashville called Canine Companions for Independence. And at a certain point, they were realizing only about $130,000 in sponsorship a year. Now, this organization is dedicated to a process of training dogs who help the disabled with everyday activities. So really what they recognized is from a promotional perspective is they had a great story to tell. That is, in training dogs, they were really helping people who had disabilities live fuller lives because of the assistance that these dogs can bring to them. Well, simply by spooling up their marketing, recognizing that they had great stories to tell, and that those great stories could align with potential sponsors, they attracted sponsors like PetSmart, like Procter & Gamble's Eukanuba brand, and other sponsors that are very much involved in the pet market and dogs in particular. And they were able to take their annual revenue from $130,000 a year to $3 million a year in cash and promotional support. And really for them, it was about being better storytellers and telling stories that aligned with potential sponsors in an authentic way that resonated with their audience. So that is a great example of how a not-for-profit can really kind of turbo boost revenue production.
I just want to ask you before you give the other example, is that a local organization in Nashville or is that a local chapter of a national organization?
That's the national organization.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So it isn't like every local chapter could have that kind of great result, but the process is the same. Whether you're the local chapter of a national, whether you're a small independent, really, the process is the same. The dollars, of course, will be different, and that'll depend on your audience. But really, the process is the same. So there's a not-for-profit called Home for Our Troops, which is a not-for-profit dedicated to building homes for veterans who have been severely injured and returning to America from active duty overseas. And really, It's a story not dissimilar to what I just described for Canine Companions for Independence. Really, by creating a sponsorship strategy and projecting its message about the work that it does for veterans in need of help and building a home, they attracted potential partners and really put the building blocks in place for a true sponsorship program. They were able to increase their revenue by tenfold. So they increased their revenue by 10 times by simply kind of putting in place a strategy. And again, marketing and storytelling that aligned with their audience that really created this opportunity for sponsors to engage and to share in that story, to help speak to that audience with that same story about helping veterans. So those are kind of two examples of really, by focusing on marketing, by realizing that not-for-profits they're very much allowed to market themselves the same way that for-profit companies do. And by doing that and projecting that towards sponsors, that there's tremendous potential impact. Again, with sponsors looking for social responsibility causes to align with.
What about venues, Ken? I mean, places that actually have sponsorships like IMS or that actually have sponsorships, you know, as part of their property. How do you think they will fare, or any general trends there?
Yeah, that's kind of the most interesting story, and it literally, Kathy, it changes like day to day.
I bet. As,
yeah, it's, you know, can fans come to sporting events? If fans can come, how many fans can come to sporting events? So really the traditional sponsorship model for venues really depended on live attendance. And so to a large extent, we're not going to see full-scale live attendance until at least, you know, next year, till 2021. And so what many of these properties have had to do, and they can't do it completely, although some have tried, is they're shifting the delivery of the experience onto online. So an example, a couple of examples of that are the two racing series, NASCAR and IndyCar. When the pandemic first hit and they couldn't even race without fans, they shifted the entire experience to online, to virtual racing, where they were holding racing events online with actual drivers actually, driving cars in a virtual environment. But that was kind of one way that kind of venues and properties were reacting. The other way is that teams, and I'll give two examples, like the Los Angeles Dodgers, obviously there was no one in a ballpark. There's still, at the time of this discussion that we're having today, there still is no baseball. But the Dodgers hosted a Dodger fan Zoom party and had 11,000 fans get on Zoom, just like the two of you are now, to celebrate the Dodgers, to meet the players, to engage in fan events, all online. Of course, that's an opportunity for sponsors to deliver their message to that audience, because 11,000 people is quite an audience at the same time. So that's one thing that the Dodgers did. And the Boston Celtics have said, the president of the Celtics said at one point here recently, that we used to be a basketball team, but now apparently we are a content production company. So the Celtics have turned to broadcasting old games, to having interviews with their players, to holding trivia contests and doing all kinds of things to really, on a day-to-day basis, to stay relevant and to give their sponsors value in the virtual world, because of course there can't be signs in arenas, there can't be promotion during games because there are no games and no one can attend in arenas. So that virtual experience in all its different forms have really come to the rescue of sponsors to really help deliver messages to audiences at a time when live sports is kind of hobbled.
Well, I would imagine that, you know, there'll be lessons learned from these interim experiences. And what I mean by that is, you know, why not incorporate these virtual experiences into marketing even when COVID is over?
Yeah, I think, Vicki, that's a great point, because our prediction is that really sports sponsorship, sponsorship for not-for-profits will never be the same. Because people are learning the high capability of digital and how, with the right expertise and resources, there is content that could be delivered in home that's as entertaining and compelling, sometimes as compelling as the live experience, especially in this era of, you know, high-definition television, high-speed broadband, all these different things which enable to deliver a super high quality product from a video and audio perspective to home. It is never going to be the same. And a lot of these things you're seeing virtually will just continue to improve, but they won't be put on the shelf when live sports come back. They'll be a part of the experience.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a way to reach a broader audience. You know, not everybody can fly to the town where the live event is, but this is a way they can be involved and to strengthen the fan base.
That's exactly right. And I think that, Vicki, you raised like a really important point, is that sponsorship used to be viewed primarily as a territorial marketing platform. So for example, if you're the official soft drink of the Indiana Pacers or the Indianapolis Colts, you might think that the primary way you deliver value to fans is at stadium or in arena. Well, what technology does is it says, no way. Now you can deliver a message globally to a global audience if you can. And so it has really shattered, you know, the perception that a sponsorship is just about a sign in a stadium. Now it could, through digital, it could be transported anywhere in the world to deliver to an audience around the globe.
So, Ken, are you working on a third book right now?
Actually, I've just finished my second book.
Okay.
So I can tell I have to start. I got to get busy on a third already.
Okay. Well, yeah, I want to give the name of the books to the listeners. One is Sponsorship Strategy, Practical Approaches to Powerful Sponsorship. And the other is called Ahead of the Game, What Every Athlete Needs to Know About Sports Business.
Yeah, that I appreciate that, Vicki. Yeah, I just finished that second book, Sponsorship Strategy. And it'll be published on July 15th. And it could be, it's available on print on Amazon. Or it's also available in ebook on Kindle, also through Amazon. So I appreciate that plug. Thank you.
Yeah, well, definitely. I shouldn't ask you this while we're on air, but we'd love to give a copy away to our listeners if you can supply one. So if that's the case, everybody should go onto our social media and see how you can potentially win one.
Absolutely. I'll be happy to get you guys a copy as soon as it's in print.
Okay, and it will be signed by Ken Unger, too, so that makes it even more valuable.
Oh, yeah. You'll be even able to sell it on eBay someday. If that.
Well, a question that we generally ask our guests, Ken, is what advice would you give maybe to a company or a nonprofit sort of looking to retool their sponsorship program kind of post-COVID?
Yeah, a couple of things is one is to understand your audience. So, for example, every not-for-profit has an audience, the donors, the people interested in the cause that you support. Understand your audience, who they are and you know, where they live and everything about your audience, so you can demonstrate that you can deliver that audience to a sponsor and allow them to message to that audience. The second thing is, from a marketing perspective, everybody's got to be on their A game. And so we tell companies that right now COVID kind of really accentuates what we call the 5 B's. And it's be on your A game is the first one. Be flexible. Be kind and generous. Be creative and be bold. Especially be bold. There will be opportunities even in the midst of such chaos and such a downturn in the economy and in society, but there's still opportunity. We will still come out the other side. But to organizations that are bold, they're the ones, from a sponsorship perspective or otherwise, that will find their way not only to survive but to thrive.
That's great. I know you put out a lot of content. Tell our listeners how they can get a hold of that content, besides your two books. Where they can find you on the internet with social media platforms and such.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So we have a lot of free content that we share with the industry, both for sponsors and for properties like not-for-profits. And you can find that at chargesponsorship.com. Look for the insights section. And you could also there sign up for our newsletter. We send out a free weekly newsletter with a lot of content about best practices and sponsorship. So chargesponsorship.com, sign up for the newsletter, and go to the insights section.
Well, Ken, this was great. I think some just real great information about things to be thinking about from all angles, from the brand and property side to the nonprofit side. Really appreciate you coming on, and I look forward to getting together and having a glass of Freak Show as soon as we can.
Vicki and Kathy, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun being on. Thank you for the opportunity.
Kathy, this week for our Taking Care in Community segment, we have an individual. Her name is Martha Piercefield, and she was nominated by one of our listeners. Here's what she says. Not only does Martha work at Riley Children's Hospital, but also runs a dog rescue in the Indianapolis area called Chihuahua Rescue Indiana. Martha works tirelessly, that's a hard word, to save dogs, not just in the state of Indiana, but also around the country. She uses every dollar to save those that can't save themselves and believes in no dog left behind. Even being a breed-specific rescue, Martha takes on other breeds when necessary to help save their lives. Martha is one of those people where she doesn't let obstacles stop her from furthering her mission. So I love that. I know a couple people who rescue dogs, and we've definitely interviewed some people who use animals in their mission. So it's nice to hear about Martha Piercefield and the great work she does. And we thank National Bank of Indianapolis for sponsoring the segment so we could congratulate her.
Absolutely. And it's so amazing to me, like, how some of these outstanding individuals are just outstanding in so many areas. So, yeah, definite thanks to Martha for all of her important work.
Let's give a big thank you to our sound engineer, Matt Sosi.
Woo-hoo!
And our Taking Care in Community sponsor, National Bank of Indianapolis. If you'd like to nominate someone or an organization for a future episode, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com.
Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get our podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, take care in business.